Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace, celebrating 20 years of discipling others through Charis Bible College worldwide. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my first week of teaching on financial stewardship, and I tell you, I am excited about this. I got a lot of product and things that could really, really bless you. You know, today is Halloween, and I don't really make a big deal out of this, but let me just say that there's a lot of people who are just into all of this weird stuff that goes on. Did you know that Halloween actually started? The word Halloween comes from, it was the evening before All Saints Day. And it was a day where they honored people who had been godly people and who had lived these godly lives. And so it was the evening before. That's why they call it Halloween. But it has been kind of, I forget the exact word for it. It's been stolen by the ungodly and turned into this day where we, you know, glorify witches and goblins and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm just telling you, that's not the way that Christians ought to be. I don't believe you go to hell. I don't believe it's demonic necessarily if you celebrate Halloween and dress up. I did those things as a kid, but I'm just telling you that, man, this isn't a godly holiday for most people. And I just encourage you today to keep your mind stayed on the Lord and not make light of something that is not funny at all. So anyway, that's my statement on Halloween. But getting back to this teaching here about financial stewardship, this week I've been trying to get across that the first step in financial stewardship is exactly as this title describes. You've got to see yourself as a steward. God is the source, and you are following God, and it's God's money. Everything you have is God's. And I've used Abraham and David as an example of this. I quoted Moses from Deuteronomy chapter 8. And this is just a theme that runs throughout Scripture, that God is the one who gives us everything. And if we really understood that, it would make a difference in the way that you deal with your finances. I heard a preacher one time say, everybody stand up, and now reach into the back pocket of the person in front of you or into the purse of the woman in front of you and get their billfold and give like you always wanted to give. And of course, that was a joke. But the point is that if you didn't see it as your money, if it was somebody else's money, like say, for instance, if you just took my wallet right now and then somebody took up an offering and says, give the way that you think Andrew would want to give. Man, many of you would be much more generous because it's not your money. And if you would see everything you have as not being yours but God, you would follow His instructions. You know, I'm not going to teach on this right now. I'll get into this in more detail as we continue through this series. But people who sit there and say, well, I know that God told us to tithe, and I know He told us to give offerings, but I just don't have it. If you saw yourself as a steward, you wouldn't make that kind of an argument. For you to say that you don't have it is incorrect. You have it. It's just a matter of what your priorities are. And most of us put all of our own things ahead of God's instructions. But if you saw yourself as, I am a steward, God is the one who's given this to me, then it would change your whole attitude. I guarantee you, you would give. And you would give more than just 10%. You'd give offerings and you would follow the leadership of the Lord, and God would begin to prosper you. I tell you, this is a key. As long as you see everything as yours, as long as you are just in a sense tipping God instead of acknowledging God, that God, everything is yours. But the Lord wants you to take care of yourself. He doesn't want you to live under a bridge or something. He doesn't mind you spending money on a house and a car and clothes and food. He wants you to be a good witness. It says in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that you're worse than an infidel if you don't take care of your own. And so God wants you to take care of things. He wants you to live nice and do things like this. But He wants you to trust Him. And that's, I believe, the reason that He told us to give a portion, is because this trust Him. It's putting first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And when we do that, everything else is added unto us. You know, I want to play another DVD that my TV department put together. And this is about Rick and Mitzi Pudlow. And they've become pretty good friends of mine now. But in the beginning, they had a rough start. I mean, we will actually show you in this video that Mitzi, when she was pregnant, was sleeping in a VW Bug. And they had nothing. But they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, started learning the Word of God, and Rick and Mitzi have seen God as their source. They are trusting God, and they are following His guidance. He led them into this export business, and you will see this, and they are just prosperous today because they see themselves as stewards, and they are doing what God told them to do. So I know that the same thing will work for you. I believe that this will bless you. Let me also remind you today will be my last day to offer the first teaching in this series that I have on financial stewardship. It's the first teaching is entitled, What is a Steward? Today's our last day to make that offer available free of charge to you. We will continue to offer these other products, but today's the last day to offer the single CD on What is a Steward? As our gift to you. So watch this video. At the end, our announcer will come on and give you that information about how to take advantage of these products.
How do two young pot-smoking hippies go from wandering America's back roads to a place of financial success and abundance? Only by making the right moves. This is the Rick and Mitzi Pudlow story.
We started doing drugs together and stayed stoned pretty much for about 2 years.
In this hippie stage that we were in, we lived together. And so one day, I can remember we were sitting in a roast beef restaurant, and it was a Tuesday, and she gave me an ultimatum. She said, are you gonna marry me or what? So I said, look, if I get a job this week, we'll get married. Well, I got a job the next day, and so Friday, we drove to Tennessee to get married, and we went to the judge, went to the courthouse to get married. And he looked at us and he said, you know what? He said, if you put Jesus in the center of your marriage, you'll never have any problems. And I never forgot that.
I kept seeking God as a Baptist girl. I knew that I was far from what God had for me. I kept encouraging Rick to go to church, and he desired to live a godly life. Every night he'd smoke a joint and read his Bible. So he was doing the best he could with what he knew.
It got to the point where I knew I had to get saved. I needed God in my life because drugs were having an effect on me. All my friends were druggies. And I knew that if I didn't get God in my life, I was either going to end up dead or in jail. I got up one night, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I went out in my garden, and we lived out in the country and had a garden. And I just fell on my knees in the dirt, and I didn't make any confession of faith. I didn't ask forgiveness for my sins. It was just like my heart. It was like my heart called out to God, and He touched me. And I raised my head and I looked up to heaven, and it was like the stars and the moon were a witness to what happened. And I got up out of the dirt, and I was a changed person. I mean, I was radically saved. And I knew that God was in my life.
And He was remarkably and amazingly changed. It was a huge transformation. And so we knew we had to get out of Kentucky because our friends were all druggies, and it was just a bad situation all the way around.
We were going to leave Kentucky, and we were going to move to Oregon. And we figured Oregon was as far away as we could get in the continental United States. So we were going to go to Oregon. So we had a yard sale and we sold everything we had, and I think everything we had brought $700 or $800.
And off we went. We packed our little Volkswagen and our Schnauzer and headed out.
We went up to Iowa, across Montana. Everywhere we went, we were looking to see if we could find work, if we could live there. And so we got to Oregon. It took us about 5 days. To get to Oregon. We got to Oregon and almost got divorced in Oregon. I mean, we had a tremendous fight. The weather was bad. It was rainy. It was cold. And finally, we reconciled and we turned south.
And we were on the road about 6 weeks. We had sleeping bags. We slept on the road most of the time. And when we would scrounge up a few of our pennies, we would get a hotel, and we absolutely had to have one to take showers. And long story short, we ended up in Boulder, Colorado.
We got down to about $125 to our name. And Mitzi went and she was taking a shower, and I got down beside my knees on the bed, and I said, "Lord, this is it. You know, we're running to the end here." Well, I picked up a newspaper and I checked the want ads, and I called about a job in Boulder, Colorado. And I went down and interviewed for the job, and I got a job that day paying me more money than I'd ever made in my life. And so this is great. And it was like, we were celebrating. It was like, now we need a place to live. Well, anyway, I went into this real estate office, and there was a woman in there. Her name was Eva Brock. She was 70-something years old, and she owned the place. And I start telling her our story, you know, how we were druggies, we got saved, we sold everything. We left Kentucky, we came out here, I got a job today. And I said, need a place to live. And she's like, where's your wife? I said, she's in the car. She said, go get her. So Mitzi came in and we're talking to Eva Brock, and she says, listen, I have a two-story house with a full basement. The basement has three bedrooms, a kitchen, a den with a fireplace, and a full utility room. She said, you can stay there until you get your feet on the ground. So that day, I had the best paying job I'd ever had in my life, and we had a free place to live.
We were there for, I guess, a few months when he started listening to Andrew on the radio.
The place that I was working, I had a friend. We would ride around in a truck, and we would listen to Christian radio all the time. We were riding down the road one day, and we were listening to this preacher on the radio, and he said, you know, God can't do everything. I'm like, what? And we looked at each other, and he said, I reached over and I turned up the radio knob. He said, that's right, God can't do everything. He can't lie. I'm like, wow, I like this guy. So I listened to him, and it was Andrew Womack. And so we're like, hey, I went home and I told Mitzi, I said, let's check this guy out, because I really liked hearing him on the radio.
Rick has heard that Andrew was going to be in town. He's going to be in Denver at Holiday Inn, and he said, let's go. So I said, okay, great. And we went, and it was just a wonderful meeting. It was like nothing we'd ever really experienced it. The gifts were in operation and prophecies, and we just were like, wow, this guy knows God. I mean, he talks to God. And these tremendous things happened in his meetings. People were being healed, and we didn't know people got healed, and they were being spirit-filled, and we didn't know what that was. And we were just in awe.
Andrew delivered the message, and at the end, he called for people to come up for prayer. He laid hands on me and prayed for me, and the presence of God just came all over me, and I was just weeping, and I was really ministered to. And I went back to my seat.
And the guy sat behind us, asked Rick if he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and Rick said, I don't even know what it is.
I said, if God wants me to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's what I want, because I want whatever God has for me is what I want. And so he prayed for me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
And that was really the power we needed to live for God. And I was baptized in the Holy Spirit a week later, and that began our journey, and we were just getting all the free tapes we could from Andrew at the time, because we had very limited funds. And those tapes were such a blessing. I can't tell you how that they fed us, they encouraged us, they helped us to be the people we are today.
Well, once we got the baptism, I mean, it was like we just became alive. It was, we began understanding the unlimited possibilities of having the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. I'd come home from work and Mitzi said, I listened to this today and it really blessed me, and I sent him money. she would send whoever came on the radio every day, it was like she was sending money left and right.
And the Lord told Rick and I simultaneously to move to Chattanooga, Tennessee. We did, off we went. We really stepped out in faith at that point in time. And I think that Rick couldn't get a job, and I was working at a photography studio there in Chattanooga, and it just, you know, the finances weren't coming through. I got pregnant, so we're expecting our first baby. Finally, we just thought, hey, let's go to the library. You know, we didn't have internet back then. We couldn't just Google things and look through the newspapers and see, you know, what the want ads are looking like. Tennessee was kind of, well, most of the country was in a bit of a recession then, except for Houston, Texas. And the want ads were just like phone book. I mean, it was just crazy. And we thought, man, if we can't get jobs in Houston, we can't get jobs.
Well, we drive to Houston. Everything we have is in our Volkswagen. We have $250 to our name, and we got there on Sunday night. I pick up a newspaper on Monday, and I call about a job at the Houston airport, and I interviewed on Tuesday.
And he got the job, which was amazing, in an industry we'd never even heard of, and international freight forwarding.
We still had very limited funds, and so rather than spend all of our money staying in a hotel.
So we were sleeping in our Volkswagen, and it was pretty rough, pregnant in a Volkswagen, but God, you know, we knew he would come through. He was well able, and we just didn't worry about it.
And I went back to work the next morning, and my boss said, well, Rick, where are you living? I said, well, I'm not living anywhere. I don't have enough money to get an apartment yet, and I wasn't going to get paid for 2 weeks. And my boss, he gave me enough money for a security deposit for an apartment and the first month's rent.
We were there for about a year, and our daughter was born. And then we moved to a small little home and where our son was born, and Rick continued to work for this freight forwarding company and learn the business.
And I hadn't been working there very long, but a couple of months, and I handled a shipment with a guy who'd been there about as long as I had, and it was a shipment to Australia, and we made really good money off of it. I mean, we made, I think it was like $7,000 or $8,000 off this shipment. And I'm like, this is the business. This I like this business. I want my own freight forwarding business.
And then, you know, he got another job opportunity with a company that was a Halliburton company. It was Van Systems. And so he learned even more about the industry.
And this particular company was an oil field service company, and they did well completions. My job was materials, and I got educated in moving explosives. I still wanted my own freight forwarding company. Finally, after I'd been at this oil field service company for about three years, this peace came over me, and I knew that the time was right to start the freight forwarding company I wanted to have. I told my boss what I was going to do, and he said, well, come on, let's go to corporate headquarters and we'll tell the president of the division. And so I went into the president of the division of this Halliburton division, and I told him, I said, look, I enjoy the Halliburton company, I enjoy the people, I like my job. I like what I'm doing. I want to have my own freight forwarding company, and if I don't do this, I'll just get old and wonder if I ever could have made it. And the guy looked at me and he said, Rick, I know exactly what you're talking about. He said, I'll tell you what, we'll support you, and if it doesn't work out, you can come back and have your job back. So I left his office with my first account and a safety net that he said, if it didn't work out, I could come and have my job back.
And so he asked me what I thought about it, and I said, I think it's great. I think God's well able, and you know, we got green lights all the way around. We left that last paycheck not knowing where the next paycheck was coming from, and you know, we started.
You know, the first day in business, my chair didn't have a back on it. Everything's disorganized. I had no organization. I had a client, but I had no money. And it was just, you know, the devil started working on my head, and I went home that night, And I couldn't sleep. I was just walking the floor, and I had these visions of my kids standing out on the road, little pie plates, you know, beating them with a spoon, saying, Daddy, we're hungry, we're starving, and all this stuff. And God stopped me, and he said, I gave you this business as a blessing and not a curse. And ever after that, my philosophy is work hard and trust God, and I put the effort into the business, and I trust God to help me and to make it work.
We started in very small beginnings. I'd answer the phone when Rick had to do anything in the warehouse, and I had a baby on one leg and a baby on the hip, and I'd be like, good morning, Pro Cargo. And he'd transfer the calls over to the house. So it was kind of a makeshift operation.
The business started growing. I had this Halliburton division as my first client, and it grew very rapidly. So we have an office in Houston, we have an office in New York, we have an office in Dubai, we have an office in Toronto, and then we've started a wholesale company that also has an office in Houston, and it has an office in Toronto. Like I said, my business philosophy is to work hard and trust God, and we actually, as believers who are in the business world, have an unfair advantage over companies who just work in the natural, because Mitzi laughs at me, but I tell her, I said, I have found the key to success in life. the key to success is success in life is always make the right decision. And then they go, oh yeah, well, always make the right decision. Yeah, sure. But you know something, if we have the mind of Christ, which the Bible says we do, and if we have the wisdom of God, which the Bible says we do, then why couldn't we, if we inquire of the Lord, why can't we make those right decisions? And I think it's the time that we go wrong in business, when we go wrong in our lives is when we fail to inquire of the Lord. And I can say that the successes that we've enjoyed in business are because when I've inquired of the Lord, or we've inquired jointly of the Lord, and He's directed us and shown us the way to go. Because a lot of times there's a way it looks like the right thing to do, but it doesn't have a good outcome. But God's way always has a good outcome, and it's always a win-win.
You know, I thank God that Andrew was in our life at the time he was, and that he's still preaching the same message today that he was then. He never gets off track. He puts one foot in front of the other and keeps his eyes on the Lord and stays steadfast and faithful to the things that God gives him to do. And you can trust that it's a ministry that's always going to be, even in end times, producing a harvest.
You know what, when we first got on fire for God, it was like we gave to everything. Mitzi would give to every minister, and whatever we saw, and we would just give. And then it was like when we settled into church, we were taught about tithes and offerings, and we began to restrict ourselves to the 10%. And then the question was, is the 10% on the gross? Is the 10% on the net? And it was just like, well, okay, it's on the gross. Okay, fine. And so, you know, you start fine-tuning it. And now it's like, we've pushed that aside, and we actually set goals for ourselves to give in excess of what we've done before. And then we pray and we ask God on where to direct it, or what He would have us give.
And we just kept giving and giving. We never ever questioned, you know, shouldn't we give? Because the more we gave, the more God blessed us. And we were thrilled to be givers. I really think that we had a gift of giving on our lives, even though we didn't know it at the time. But we understood early on, through Andrew's teaching and others, that it was God's money, and whatever came your way, that we were just to be good stewards of that money. So we always let the money just flow from us to wherever God directed. And the more we wrote checks and blessed ministries and different organizations and people, the more God filled up our bank account. So it was just an ongoing thing. I want everybody to know, you cannot outgive God. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. If you give it all away tomorrow and you know it's God, He'll make sure that you have more than enough the following days. And in strange ways, may not be ways that you may think, but it's fun giving. It's not a burden, it's joy, it's a pleasure. And I would challenge everybody out there listening to give beyond what you think you can. Because God says, test me now, try me now and see if I don't have a blessing for you, or if I will open up the windows and pour out a blessing. And he so will.
The secret to success for Rick and Mitzi began with accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But it also included turning to Him for guidance every day. As Rick said, work hard and trust God. It's only through a trusting and true relationship with our Heavenly Father that anyone can be assured of making all the right moves.
On today's program, Andrew showed the financial breakthrough story of Rick and Mitzi Pudlow. If you'd like to view this story again, you can see it in its entirety, along with 5 additional financial testimonies on Financial Breakthroughs Volume 1. It's available on DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get the Financial Breakthroughs DVD as part of the Prosperity Package. This package includes the Financial Stewardship Series on CD, the book, the Financial Stewardship Study Guide, and the Financial Breakthroughs DVD. The entire package has a catalog value of $115. But today you can get the Prosperity Package for a gift of $85 or more. Go to awmi.net and click on Today's TV Offer to see all the ways you can get this teaching. The first audio teaching in today's series is titled, What is a Steward? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. This is the last day we'll be offering this teaching, so be sure to respond today. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download additional free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In November, he'll be in Mesa, Arizona, and in San Antonio, Dallas, and Fort Worth, Texas. And in January, he'll be in Phoenix and Mesa, Arizona, and at the Sanctuary in Woodland Park, Colorado, for the annual Charis Bible College Men's Advance. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to come join me at one of our Gospel Truth rallies in Texas during the month of November. On the 13th, 14th, and 15th, I'm coming to San Antonio and then Dallas and then Fort Worth. We'll have some information on your screen. Of course, you can always go to our website, that's awmi.net, and you can get a listing of all of these meetings. You can also call 719-635-1111, and they can give you information. But these are just one-night services where I'm there ministering. We will have prayer ministers with us, students, that will be able to minister to your needs physically, and it's going to be a great time. So remember, November the 13th through the 15th in Texas.
Some people just don't know what God's plan is for their life, and after a couple years here, they really get a clear vision of what their specific purpose is, and they've been equipped to go out there and start running that race. And so the unlocking of destinies is something we really see, and I love it. It's great.
It has changed me from an introvert that couldn't really stand in front of someone and speak to them to where now I'm actually ministering to people. And that's something I never thought I would be able to do.
We're going out and praying for the sick. We're seeing a lot of people healed. Just this last 6 months, we've seen 5 or 6 cancers completely healed.
It has literally transformed my life and my mind. I mean, I have become so bold and courageous.
How to let Him work through us in ministering and making us disciples to go out and minister to other people. And I'm enjoying myself here.